So glad to have you on, Maggie and Perloff. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, across the country on CBS Sports Radio. We're also streaming youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Come on in, get involved in the chat, say what up to the Weedos. Everyone's talking about this story, which we'll get to a little bit later, how a restaurant in Australia, or scientists in Australia, have created a meatball made out of woolly mammoth DNA and cells.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah, they didn't like dig up a woolly mammoth. I don't even think you'd do that. But it was like the cells of the woolly mammoth. And they wanted to show how you can use different cells to create different type of meat and things like that.
So you could theoretically eat a Tyrannosaurus Rex burger.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know how far they can take it back, but they can take it back to a woolly mammoth.
For some reason, I'm okay with a dinosaur, but a woolly mammoth, it feels like there's lint on the meatball or something. Anyway.
You want to eat a dinosaur? Anyway, all right, we'll table that for a second because we want to welcome in our guest for today. And I'm sorry, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Fame safety for the Packers. Apologies for that introduction. I don't know if you have a thought on a woolly mammoth meatball.
I just stay in my lane, talk about stuff I know about. If it's stuff I don't know about,
it's okay, Leroy. None of us know about this. It's ridiculous. But thank you so much for jumping on with us today, because when there's Packers stuff that happens, we always love getting your opinion on things. And, you know, this one's interesting because you got Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, comes out yesterday at the owners' meetings and basically says, we couldn't get a hold of Aaron Rodgers, and we had to move on and try to find a trade. Does that sound right to you, that they wouldn't be able to get a hold of Rodgers?
Oh, absolutely. I think it, you know, and actually, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of proud of the way that Brian Gutekunst has handled this, because I think for the most part, if you take your two guys that's really dominating the headline, Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, which trade you think was handled the best? You know, Lamar said, you know, March 2nd, I kind of let them know or whatever, I want to be traded. But Rodgers, you have to do it in his world. So when he wants to go into the darkness and don't communicate with the team, I mean, I was glad they got frustrated, because I live here in the state of Wisconsin. I was like, sooner or later, they're going to get sick and tired of just, like, not responding. For the most part, and when Brian said he couldn't get a hold of Aaron, I believe him, because they really don't have to do that, you know. But at some point, you can only take so much disrespect when you're trying to pay a player $60 million. I mean, what are you upset about? What is it about? What's the issue that's working out? And it seemed like to me the communication broke down, but it takes two people to communicate, and Brian indicated that wasn't happening on Aaron's end.
Leroy, do you think at the end of the regular season, after the loss to the Lions, at that point, the Packers probably had planned for Aaron Rodgers to come back?
Yeah, I think they did. Because if you go back, when they gave him, after the MVP season, we got to be fair about this. When they gave him the 3-year, $150 million guarantee, a lot of people were like, why are you doing that? But they wanted to show their appreciation for what he's done. So when you lose to Detroit twice, okay, and you win four straight, and you got them at home, you're thinking, with a Hall of Fame quarterback, this is a done deal. But no, you have to give Detroit credit for winning that game. The Packers, since Matt LaFleur has been there, have always had one of the better teams, but never could get to a Super Bowl. So they don't. The good thing about the Green Bay Packers, they don't judge you based off of that. They want to try it again with their best players. So they gave him every opportunity. But he also said, guys, and we got to be fair about this, I will not hold them hostage. I will not do this. I'm going to make a decision. I don't know if I want to play. You went through that with Brett Favre. They gave you the $150 million not to waffle. So I was glad that somebody, because that's what the frustration with the Packers team and fans are like, well, wait a minute. I thought we paid him not to go through this again. So, and if you think, and be fair again, Gutekunst has to run a business. He can't sit for 9 weeks waiting around to see what you want to do. So, hey, listen, if you don't want to communicate with me, okay, listen, we got to make some phone calls. And you found one with the Jets, a partner, trying to get this thing done. And now they got to figure out the compensation.
Leroy Butler is our guest. He's a Hall of Fame safety, former Packer, and a guest right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. So, Leroy, our colleague Zach Gelb had an interesting report that, you know, Rodgers had these meetings with Matt LaFleur, and sometimes he was a no-show in those meetings and maybe indicated that perhaps it was like a little bit of a mind game. Does that sound like something you've heard before, or did that ring true to you?
I've never heard that, but I'll say this about Zach. He don't just make stuff up.
No doubt.
Somebody probably did tell him that. I mean, Zach Gelb is one of the best you can get when it comes to a guy, because everybody likes him. So sometimes he may get a phone call, and you know, if you ask the right question to the right source, you'll get the right answer. And that's just, but if you look at some of the interviews that Rodgers have had over the years, he's always wanted to do kind of things kind of his way. You know, he kind of want to do this. He's telling you all the answers. You just have to figure out how do you make this offense. But up until last year, number one in the league in scoring and, you know, two MVPs, what happened? Because you're still the same guy. And then what backs up Zach's point in a way is when Aaron, and it's semantic how you want to look at it, that I can be MVP again. But I got to do it my way. So, and if that's the case, that really makes me really respect Matt LaFleur, because Matt LaFleur really could have threw him under the bus and say he's hard to deal with. But Matt LaFleur's always said that he loves working with Aaron Rodgers, and he's always had a lot of admiration for him. So it's just one of those things that, and that don't make Aaron Rodgers a bad guy, by the way. Because we let all quarterbacks do this. Now, Tom Brady do the same thing. Tom Brady got his coach fired. You know, allegedly. You know, because he wants to work with this guy and want to work with this. I have no problem with it if it works. All 32 quarterbacks, we give them daylight to kind of get what they want. But we pay them the most money. We don't mind when they said some weird stuff about the organization. And you're okay with it. So all quarterbacks do pretty much the same.
Yeah. It's a good point about Brady with Bruce Arians. Yep.
Absolutely. We're talking to Leroy Butler, Hall of Famer, former Packers great. So I woke up this morning and saw a really funny tweet from you. And can I quote it? I heard a great joke today. Quote, the New York Jets roster is better than the Packers roster. Crying emoji, crying emoji. Now, it's funny. I think a lot of people in the national media think the Jets might have a better roster. But you think that's hysterical?
Listen, it was 7-10. Okay. So now you're saying your roster is better, but you want my quarterback. Just think about that. You haven't had a relevant quarterback since Joe Namath. So now y'all think that the only thing missing is a quarterback. Okay, fine. Say you believe that. You ain't going to no Super Bowl because where you play in the AFC is one of the toughest divisions. So my thing is, where is y'all this talent? I just don't see it. And I don't know if they know the history of Aaron Rodgers. You can Google it if you want. I don't think he wants. He said he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild and doesn't like working out with young guys in the offseason. Where's this chemistry going to come from? Hey, listen, I like Sauce. I love the young man, the running back.
Yeah, Breece Hall.
I even like the head coach. But if you're telling me that roster is better than the Packers, we got to respectfully disagree. And I think the Jets fans, who are passionate fans, they're going to come to the reality of the only way you've been relevant because you had my two quarterbacks, Brett Favre, and now you're getting Aaron Rodgers. Other than that, we wouldn't even be talking about the Jets.
Leroy Butler is our guest. Last one for me, Leroy, and thanks for making time for us today. We always appreciate your perspective on things, your expertise. So we've had a lot of conversations about leverage in this Rodgers negotiation, who has it, who doesn't. I don't know if that conversation is even germane right now, but do you think there is part of the Packers that wants to get this deal done before the draft so that they can actually, you know, use one of these draft picks they're going to get from the Jets to build their roster for this year?
I think if you really look at it, the Packers have two quarterbacks. The Jets don't have none. They took a guy, a young man, real high. They don't even want him to be on the team. Matter of fact, the Jets fans don't even want him. They're desperate, okay? You're totally desperate. So if you got the 13th pick and you're holding on to that, But if you really believe in your heart, the owner, Mr. Douglas, and Robert Saleh, if you really believe in your heart, you're one quarterback away, give away the 13th pick. You're going to win the Super Bowl because that's what you think. Your roster is that great. You're just missing a great quarterback. The Rams did it. They won a Super Bowl. Now they're struggling now, but they won a Super Bowl. I've been in the Super Bowl, guys. It's amazing because you get a reset for 5 years to kind of do it again. So if you really think that you're going to win a Super Bowl in the AFC and beat Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh, if you think that, give up the 13th pick and bet on yourself because they don't believe it. That's why they don't want to give it up. They need that 13th pick to try to get somewhere. They need it. If you really believe that, give it up. I'll give it up on all the draft picks. Get the guy that you want, Aaron Rodgers, and just let everybody go their way.
Leroy, one last question. Now, hopefully we'll ask you this again. We'll have you on before the season. But the end of March, what should we expect out of Jordan Love right now?
Okay, let's be fair. Aaron Rodgers' first year when he took over Brett Favre, he went 6-10. Nobody said a word because he was tired of the drama. And if I'm correct, that the roster that the Packers have, Jordan Love, can he be Brock Purdy? Can he be Daniel Jones? Matter of fact, can he be Taylor Heineke? I mean, can he be any one of these called Geno Smith? I mean, well, Geno is a Pro Bowler. Look, put them to the side. Look at all these quarterbacks. They ain't all pro. They ain't Hall of Famers, but they win because it's a system. And that system is what Kyle Shanahan is doing, of course, and it's the same system. Now Matt LaFleur can run his system the way he wants. He can use the two running backs. He can use Christian Watson, play action, go down the field. The defense is going to be pretty good. So now you can run your stuff. And I'm telling you guys, trust me, when you can wake up every morning with no drama and no stress, that's the best life of all time. So the stress, the Jets, y'all can have it. Struggling when you have to explain to your fan base you gave up a lot or just even a little to try to get to the Super Bowl and you're still not there. The Packers, they're going to be fine with Jordan Love.
Leroy, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. Congrats again on the Hall of Fame. I know we've done that before, but congrats again. Well-deserved, and we hope to catch up with you soon.
Thank you so much. I always appreciate coming on your show.
Appreciate you. Leroy Butler, the best. I mean, I get it. I get the frustration. Yeah. I do understand it.
And it's interesting. He keeps on citing the Brett Favre situation. Just a parallel. It's getting tiring to have Aaron Rodgers still there. I think it's going to be a fresh start for Green Bay. I know people that want to make it a winner and a loser. I think it could be a win-win. And I think that the Packers, I mean, come on, the Packers lost to the Lions in week 18 and the Lions weren't playing for anything. Obviously, they'd hit the end of the road. They were close with Rodgers.
Oh, definitely. And I think Rodgers even admits that, right? He said, when I was walking on the field with Randall Cobb, I had a feeling this was going to be the last time I'd walk off in a Packers uniform. Did you get a little sense there that maybe Leroy not that convinced it's going to work out that well in New York with Rodgers?
Yeah. Well, I think...
He did say they're a good team. We know they're a good team. Yeah. He doesn't think as good as the Packers, but...
Well, he brought up a really great point that we all know. It's the AFC, Maggie.
Yeah.
It is loaded.
I know.
That division is loaded.
And a little be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you're bringing in somebody and you get the whole package.
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about this. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I take 20% less money to go to the NFC South.
And just walk to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And then you get another big contract and you don't get hit as much because it's the NFC South. They can't even tackle in that division. They'll never catch Lamar Jackson. But the same thing with Rodgers. This is hard. The NFC North has been down. Now he's going into this division. Even if he's good, doesn't guarantee anything.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you missed any part of our interview with Leroy Butler, you can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. It's a lot of fun. If you are watching us, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, hit the subscribe button and we'd be forever grateful. Of course, you can listen to us across the country on our amazing CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We will be in Houston on Thursday and Friday for the men's Final Four, getting you set for the men's Final Four.
No, that's going to be exciting. I think what I'm excited for the most, besides the basketball, the barbecue too.
Can we get a mammoth meatball? A woolly mammoth meatball? I can't even say that. A woolly mammoth meatball.
Well, I think you would do a brisket from the ribs of a woolly mammoth. That's kind of the. I mean, they'll cook up anything at these places. Alligator, woolly mammoth.
Hand them your
shoe. Pork.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if with the right sauce, you can make woolly mammoth delicious.
So this Australian company, it resurrects the flesh of lost species to demonstrate the potential of meat grown from cells. Yeah. Got all that?
Yeah, that's very disturbing on a long, in a big picture yeah, sense.
No kidding.
When there's not real food and we're dealing with fake woolly mammoth.
The company has already investigated the potential of more than 50 species, including alpaca, buffalo, crocodile, kangaroo, peacocks, and different types of fish. The first cultivated meat to be sold to diners will be Japanese quail.
Ugh, disgusting.
That's all right. It's only going to be in Singapore, so unless you plan to be in that part of the world,
well, I just think
you can avoid it.
You know, it's one thing to genetically modify food. That's pretty awful. But then with genetically modify existing animals like chicken is
gross.
Right. But this is out of control.
Do you remember when there was a famous, I'm not going to say it, but there was a famous company that's known for furniture you have to put together, and people found out that there was horse meat in the meatballs? And like everyone just like went totally berserk.
Yes.
Meanwhile, in other parts of the world, they actually do eat horse meat. But to Americans, that really freaked us all out.
Rightfully so. And I think it's pretty obvious who you're talking about.
Yeah.
By the way, you started
it rhymes
off
with Schmikea.
Right before. So Leroy Butler, Hall of Famer, is on Hall of Famer Leroy Butler's on hold, and you go, now the story everyone's talking about. I wasn't aware, with everything going on in the world, this woolly mammoth burger. Was it a burger?
It's a meatball.
Meatball.
I mean, it could be a burger. That was probably just, that was, you know, maybe you want to put more like, maybe it's more like a tomato sauce.
You can make a chili. Woolly mammoth chili.
There you go.
It's what our great ancestors used to live off of.
When did the woolly mammoth go extinct?
I don't know. They were in, what's that movie with the Ice Age?
Yeah,
Ray Romano plays a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, that's our only reference to this. You know, there's like famous bulls in Spain and Mexico, like where they do bullfighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the famous line of the bull, the DNA comes from the woolly mammoth. And they're still around today. Bet you guys didn't know that.
Wow.
I know. I went to a bullfight once. Would not recommend. 855-212-4CBS.
I could guess how it ended.
It's not a fight. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, did Robert Kraft tip his hand on who the heir apparent is to Bill Belichick? And are things warming up between Lamar Jackson and the Patriots? So we've got updates all around. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. You know, I think when you're looking for a job or anything, you got to be really aggressive. You got to network. You got to get out there. And I think that's true for the NFL. It seems to be the way guys are going about their business right now. What's the latest, Maggie?
Yeah, I just saw this from Josina Anderson, our good friend. She said, I'm told free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. has arrived at the Biltmore, where the owners' meetings are happening, with plans to talk to at least the Ravens. Per him.
At least the Ravens.
Yeah.
Wait, the Ravens are in the middle of this whole Lamar Jackson thing.
Yeah, I guess maybe does signing Odell Beckham maybe take the trade request off the table?
What?
See, I always kind of thought the Ravens were okay with the trade request because if they really wanted Lamar Jackson, don't you think they would have gotten a deal done? By letting him get the franchise tag, like they've kind of told him, like, we're okay with how this works out.
Right. You said this yesterday. The non-exclusive tag is basically saying, okay, go find a home.
Yeah.
We're good. But Odell, I don't think, and I understand what you're saying, maybe Odell there, it'll get Lamar excited and he'll finally have wide receivers. But I think, you know, you're looking at Baltimore, Odell coming off that injury, that to me is not the most secure situation. It feels like that's a team that all their receivers have had trouble staying healthy. So you're bringing Odell Beckham Jr. in here. I don't know. Well, what about, I thought the Giants and Odell were talking. I thought the Jets and Odell were talking.
I think.
Why the Ravens? Why is that the one team he cited?
Well, I don't know, but I guess, you know, they need some help. Who'd they sign? Nelson Aguilar? No offense. I mean, Nelson put in a nice sushi order when we met him in California, but you need more help.
Do you honestly think in that situation, the way everybody gets hurt in Baltimore, that Odell Beckham's going to last there?
I have no idea, but he's obviously trying really hard. I never even knew the players showed up to this thing.
Yeah. Does that feel like...
Has they showed
Odell,
the combine.
Did Odell show up at something else before? I feel like this is not a new maneuver.
Listen, I mean, he's trying to find a job, so good for him.
Also, the Rams is a new thing for Odell, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, the Rams are trying to offload everybody. They're not trying to bring people on board.
But if they could get cheap Odell, they know he works there.
Yep.
I like that a little bit. I'm sorry. I know. I like that a little better because at least you know he knows the system and that he can fit with Matthew Stafford. Baltimore... I mean, if Odell's there getting thrown the ball by Huntley, then this is not going to be good.
I know. You and I were talking before about a possible, you know, landing spots for Lamar. And, you know, you can squint and you can see every team in the league, you know, could possibly, except for maybe like four or five teams, might have an interest. And San Francisco came up. And, like, I don't know, like, you'd have to do some serious salary cap gymnastics for something like that. But the fact that they said Brock Purdy... Yesterday, John Lynch said that Brock Purdy's the leader in the clubhouse. If the season started today and if he was healthy, like that he's the guy who's earned the snaps, like to be the first team, to be the starter, rather. I mean, okay, Brock Purdy was very good in that offense, but he's also a seventh-round rookie. It's not like he's got all this track record of being a great quarterback in the NFL. Then they've got Trey Lance, who John Lynch said is on our roster for now. For now. When you get hit with the for now, you're gone. So would the Ravens be possibly interested in getting Trey Lance? And I would be like, you can't do Trey Lance in a first-round pick. Like, Trey Lance isn't worth a first-round pick right now because he's 2 years in and we've seen nothing.
Coming off an injury, too.
But maybe they did their due diligence on Trey Lance. Maybe they like him. He's a running quarterback like Lamar is.
Well, I don't, if they were going to go for Trey Lance, I think it would have to be separate from Lamar Jackson.
Okay, but so maybe it's two separate transactions, right?
Right, because the way the rules are, you basically you can't give anything more than two first-round picks.
Right.
And if you're trading with a team San Francisco is going to pick in the late 20s, you definitely want two first-round picks for Lamar Jackson. You're
absolutely
not going to do one first-round pick on a player. The think about the Niners and Lamar Jackson. I think the Niners have the most expensive running back in the league. They just put the fifth year on Brandon Ayuk. They're paying Debo Samuel a ton. I think they're gonna either they're going to pay or they have paid George Kittle a ton.
Bosa.
That's just on
Javon
offense.
Javon Hargrave. They just gave a ton of money.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But you're not gonna pay. You're not gonna have the most expensive running back, a very expensive wide receiving core, and then the most expensive quarterback in the league. You can't have all those things.
Okay. Well,
there's a reason that you want. There's a reason Brock Purdy is going to start there, but you need a cheap quarterback to fit that offense.
Okay, but counterpoint there. You can all in this thing to the point where one season like the Rams, and then listen, what happened with the Rams? They won the Super Bowl, but then immediately, they had to start basically selling the farm. So could you all in this work out something with Lamar, like Deshaun Watson, quite frankly? I mean, as distasteful as it was that Watson, they manipulated his contract so he barely made any money last year because they were anticipating a suspension, which they were right about. But you do it the other for no reason, not a suspension, but you tell Lamar, we're going to guarantee you all this money, but we need you on a cheap contract this first year.
I don't know. I just can't. I know what you're saying. Salary cap. Well, they came into, I was just reading, they had $7 million going into free agency, one of the least amounts in the league, and they rejiggered everything so they could get Javon Hargrave. I just can't imagine $50 million a year for the next 5 years when you have to pay Bosa, Warner, Kittle. I don't think so.
I don't know if they could make it work, but I'm just saying, when I heard John Lynch say, on our roster for now, I'm like, that's the kiss of death.
Also, let me ask you this. Is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback for those kind of players? I mean, is he going to distribute the ball very well to... Debo needs a lot of touches. McCaffrey needs a lot of touches. All these guys need tons of touches.
I know, but think about it. These aren't like complicated throws that he's making either. This is like, we basically paint it that anybody can run point guard for the 49ers offense. So you have the running threat, which you know they're going to love because Shanahan loves running the ball. And then you have all of your complement of weapons that Lamar can get the ball to them.
But Lamar is going to take 10 to 20 pass attempts out of the game plan immediately.
Maybe it's less. Maybe it's more like 5 or 6.
Then why are you paying Lamar Jackson $250 million?
Because those 5 or 6 are going to be better than what Brock Purdy gives you. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, yes, if you're talking about an 8-yard pass to Christian McCaffrey, I don't think you need to pay $250 million for Lamar Jackson. See, I would go Atlanta.
But there's a reason why they traded up and got Trey Lance.
I know.
They wanted a running quarterback.
And they regret that now. But Atlanta.
I don't know.
Here's the thing, Atlanta. Yeah, they definitely regret
I know
that.
Everyone wants to say Atlanta.
Right.
Smart. Perloff, you're right. You're 100% right. They've said no.
I know they've said no, but a team that has no identity and underdeveloped weapons, not a team that has the best weapons and can play anybody a quarterback and win 10 straight games, that's the last thing you need. You're like, you know what? We just won 10 games with the cheapest quarterback room in the league. Let's make it the most expensive quarterback room in the league.
I know, but you can't strong arm. Just because we think it's a good idea doesn't mean you can make the Falcons do something.
Right, right. But my point is that it doesn't make any sense for that one team it makes the least amount of sense for. Well, the Chiefs, but the Niners are not far behind.
855-212-4CBS. Our pal Big Dave is in Kentucky, wants to weigh in on Rodgers and the Packers, this whole mess. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Listen, McLovin, you just made my point and stole my thunder about Lamar. What I love about all this is listen to some of these talking heads, you know, just dummying this down like Washington and whoever are just idiots, you know, for not wanting to jump in and try to sign Lamar. To start with, you know, anybody knows it's a matter of basic math. If you put so much money into your quarterback, if you don't have instant success, you know, the odds on you having any sort of long-term success are just minimized because you can't afford to pay anybody else. And, you know, you can say whatever you want. I mean, I'm not saying Lamar is not a good quarterback. Lamar Jackson is not Patrick Mahomes. As much as some people want to try to make him out to be, he's won one playoff game total. He's 27 years old, but he's starting to get more injured. And like I've said before, a huge part of his success is dependent on his ability to be mobile and move, you know, inside and outside the pocket. And that is not going to get better as he gets older.
Mm-hmm. I know, Dave. It's all good points. It's just, it's odd that there's no takers, you know? It's still odd that there's no takers because we've seen teams overpay for far less talented guys, and they're happy to do it.
Yeah, but not this amount of money. And it seems like everything's dependent upon wanting guaranteed money and a 4 or 5 year deal. Listen,
I would say they overpaid. The Browns overpaid for Deshaun Watson.
The Browns are idiots.
That we can agree on.
You can't use that as the comparative measure here. I mean, that has to be an outlier no matter who you ask. That's idiotic. And you know, I mean, when in Rome, do as they do. If another ownership was to jump in and make a similar deal with Lamar Jackson, I just don't think it's a recipe for success. But good to talk to you guys. Great show as always. Thanks.
Thank you, Big Dave. Glad to talk with you. How about this one from Chris Mortensen yesterday? Sent out a couple tweets from ESPN. He said, a few teams, owners included, have discussed Lamar Jackson case. One team was hesitant because of the number of games, snaps, and practices he's missed the last 2 to 3 years versus the money invested. Also wonder whether his sleep habits and nutrition contribute to his absences. Mm. Nobody speaks ill of his character. Like, you kind of are, though. Yeah. If you're questioning his sleep habits and his nutrition, and he's a professional athlete, are you not kind of poking at the character there? That seems like a very thinly veiled character criticism.
You're poking at the professionalism, which is similar to the character. Yes. I guess I understand what he was trying to say, but you're right. It does sound like it's talking about his level of professionalism.
That was a no offense, but.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny too. NFL players, there is an obsession with sleep in that league, which makes you wonder, is it really that hard to learn the playbook? Because all they care about is getting an appropriate nap schedule.
Yes. No NBA players with the naps. I think hockey players are like this too. Anyone who works at night like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard LeBron talk about his naps?
Oh, yeah. He loves the nap.
It's like, if you disrupt the nap, we'll just throw you in jail. I wish that somebody cared about my sleep schedule. Like, have you read the Victor Wembanyama? Like, all those profiles that came out about this guy is going to be the next big thing in the NBA. The NBA. And, like, the whole team around him is only so concerned that he gets, like, 11 hours of sleep a night.
Only 11? Or you're saying, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, no, that's why I do believe this report. I'm not saying it's true about Lamar Jackson, but I'll bet you teams are like wondering, wait, is this guy sleeping enough?
Well,
and is he eating chips or
something? Can we have like a whole team dedicated? Can someone just walk into my room at like 11:30 at night and take the phone out of my hand and throw it out the window so I actually go to sleep and I don't spend another half an hour scrolling aimlessly on whatever social media platform, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's midnight. Happens to me every night.
If you were a once-in-generation NBA talent, they would do that. And that would be awesome for you.
If someone threw my phone out the window, I'm not sleeping anyway. I'm just freaking out all night.
I'd be like, thank God. I'll get it tomorrow. Someone run it over.
You know, you are allowed to, you know, leave the phone in another room.
No. You have to be forced. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're like, I desperately want someone to do this to me, but you can't find the discipline to do it yourself. Maybe Chris Morrison should tweet about Maggie Gray.
Worried about my habits?
Yeah, your health habits.
Every time my phone tells me my screen time has been down, you know, they give you those reports on Sunday, your screen time has been down, I want to like pop a bottle of champagne for myself. I'm like, yes, I'm not a degenerate. Like, addicted to my phone. No, I'm alone on this one.
Right. No. I've given up on that. My screen time seems to go up every week, and it doesn't even bother me anymore.
You're immune.
I say your problem is screen time for your kid. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, I'll do that too. My kid's obsessed, loves TV.
Are you kidding me? My kids, they're basically the iPads and the phones are attached to their hands surgically. There's no, I can never reach my wife on the phone. I can always reach my daughter.
That's like a new Marvel character. You guys love the sci-fi versus fantasy that we were talking about that I was getting shamed about.
It's called the entire Gen Z. It's not, you have to be an outlier. I mean, is there anybody who's 18 years old who has ever lets the phone out of their hand?
No. You know how like Wolverine has those things that come out of his knuckles? It's just like phone hands.
Look at you, a little Marvel reference. You're growing.
I mean, that was very Wolverine. Things coming out of his knuckles. That's close enough.
Spot the lie? I think I got it, basically. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up, an important question to ask before the Final Four this weekend. We'll get to that after this CBS Sports update from Rich Ackerman. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. What does Stu have in store for us today? I think I'm going to go NCAA tournament. Because I think you would do that. I think I'm going to go with the 7'2" freshman from UConn, Donovan Klingon, who had three blocks against the Zags. Perloff, what do you think Stu decided on the Navy Federal?
So I pulled up the box scores of the Elite Eight to cheat. How about San Diego State's Nathan Mensa had three blocks in the Elite Eight? And I don't know, Mensa, Stu's kind of a brilliant guy.
Thanks,
Figured Perloff. The connection.
Actually, I think for the first time, Maggie is correct.
Hey!
It is the first time. UConn big man, Mr. Klingon. He had three blocks, and he helped hold Drew Timmy to just 12 points on 5 of 14 shooting.
There we go. Finally, I'm on the board. It's only been a year and 3 months.
Did you look at Nate Mensa? I mean, hello.
I did. He was definitely in the running.
Was he really?
Perloff wants partial credit again.
No, I'm just curious.
No, he was. He was one of the guys. I definitely wanted to go college this week, not NBA or anything else.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when, after next week, you're not going to have college basketball? Are you going to lean towards NBA, hockey? What's your strategy here for the NFL offseason?
I guess we'll see. I'm going to probably have to try to lean NBA and try to find some defense in the little defense we see in the NBA. But
yeah, good luck.
What are you going
to
do?
147 to 142. But yeah, I'm sure we'll find a nice defensive player.
I just can't wait till July and August when I have to start going the baseball route.
Oh, I know. That's Perloff's favorite.
Web gems.
855-212-4CBS. Ramon's in Indianapolis. Got a thought on Lamar Jackson maybe to his team. What's up, Ramon?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
My call. I'm just exasperated because I'm almost 60 years young. I've watched some of the crazy things going. I watched Magic Johnson get Paul Westphal fired, Norm Nixon traded. I saw Isaiah Thomas get his homeboy Mark Aguirre title. Clyde Drexler, Olajuwon get over to Houston. Don't sit up and tell me that the last call. What are you talking about? The San Francisco 49ers has not won a Super Bowl since 1994. We're talking about the great franchise of the 49ers. Have not won a Super Bowl one since 1994. That is a long time. I'm from the Chicago area, and we haven't won since 85. That hurts even the worst.
Yep.
if Justin Fields wasn't there, I would have said they should have traded for him. But I want to give Justin Fields a chance. There is no way in the world, Perlo, Brock Purdy is going to win a Super Bowl. It doesn't happen. You need star talent to win in sports. Mahomes is a star, above stars. Talking about not comparing him to Mahomes, well, guess what? For him to have drugged that Baltimore team to the playoffs all those years with what he had, that's pretty close. Okay, you want to win, you do what the Rams did, and it's not for 1 year like Stafford, 2 years like Stafford. You're going to have him for five. Sure, the nature of paying quarterbacks, you're going to lose a few players. But guess what? Patrick Mahomes just won with eight rookies starting in the Super Bowl. Eight rookies. I don't want to hear that. If you want to win, you do what you're supposed to do. I'm here in Indianapolis now, and this owner paid $158 million to Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Brissett, and Rivers. He wasted $158 million on those four guys.
Oof.
Now, you tell me Lamar's not worth at least another $60 million, and that's the kind of money he spent on four bums? Thanks for taking my call.
Ramon. Yes, Perloff, would you care to respond?
They were basically two plays away, maybe one play away from winning a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you clearly don't need Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl in today's NFL. And let me tell you about another late-round pick who went on to win a few Super Bowls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was. He lost his starting job in Michigan. He was drafted by the Montreal Expos in the 18th round. Yeah, I'm talking about Tom Brady.
We know who you were talking about.
Ramon. And by the way, okay, if Lamar Jackson is such a sure thing to win a Super Bowl, then why hasn't he won yet in Baltimore? And why do you think Baltimore seems to be waffling on the chances that he will win there? I mean, do you think he's going to win a Super Bowl with this Ravens team?
I mean, I can see that from both sides, right? I do think they've whiffed on first-round picks. Mm-hmm. They haven't invested tons in the wide receiver room. And so I could say that too. Now, if you're going to give me the Mahomes argument, then I think Mahomes and a bunch of anybody's could be competitive. That's how good Mahomes is. But like, I think I'd love to see Lamar Jackson with some better receivers and a different offensive coordinator that's, you know, using the middle of the field more. And, you know, let's see what his arm can do. We really haven't been able to see that yet.
Okay. Here's a hard truth about Mahomes, even. You take Mahomes away from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. I mean, who knows?
Well, Bieniemy's gone now.
Regardless, I'm saying Mahomes has also had some help.
Yeah,
I know he had a bunch of rookies.
Good situation.
You put Mahomes in Baltimore, I mean, who knows? And you put Lamar in Kansas City, Lamar might have his second Super Bowl ring. That's all I'm saying is there's a lot of contingencies here. I don't think for a second that San Francisco needs Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. I think they would have probably beaten the Eagles this year
if Brock Purdy was healthy.
I mean, the Eagles' offense could not move anywhere. After the first drive, they surprised them by actually throwing on the first drive. Then it was just shut down. The rest of the game.
I know, but that game is impossible to figure out because Brock Purdy got hurt so early in the game.
Right, but it was 7-7, and the game could have been very competitive. But then the Niners lost all their quarterbacks, and it was over.
Yeah, they couldn't throw.
So I just think that you can't ignore the Niners' success last year. They were playing really, really well.
Let's get to some interesting sound from Robert Kraft, because the Patriots could also be in on Lamar Jackson. Now, this could be some tea leaves. This could be some wishful thinking maybe by the media or maybe some of the Patriots fans. But one thing that Kraft had to say at the owners' meetings was about the possible heir to Bill Belichick. He's really talking up Gerard Mayo.
There's no ceiling on his ability to be a head coach, and he'll be a head coach. And I'm sure of that. I hope, you know, he's with us. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, he kind of just said it, right? That
what?
Well, he said he's going to be a head coach, and I hope it's with us. I mean,
right? But I mean, he's saying, yeah. But isn't he just being nice?
He might be, but when you have like the greatest coach of all time who's out here at the owners' meetings telling everyone why should you believe in us? Well, look at the last 25 years,
right?
Like Belichick has the lifetime appointment there, of course, right? It's Belichick coaches until he doesn't want to coach anymore. Do you
Absolutely.
Agree with that? Right. So. But the fact is, like, to have a successor and to try to think about what that could be like, it's obviously not McDaniels. He's gone. Clearly, Patricia and Judge and these other guys are not up to it. And so Gerard Mayo, I think that's kind of like getting I don't know. I'm surprised this isn't getting a little bit more.
Well, the way he said it was he's going to get a job. So I think Jerod Mayo will probably get a job next year. And I don't think that fits Belichick's time frame. And I think he's saying, I hope it's here, kind of to be nice. Like, I think he knows he's going to lose Mayo.
I don't know. See, I wonder if they're like, listen, stick around.
Yeah, but that never really worked. I think in the college they try that a lot. I don't think NFL, I mean, odds are Mayo, if the Patriots are good on defense, will get an offer next year. You can't say stick around because Belichick could be six more years.
I know, but he always said he wasn't going to coach into his mid-70s. He said famously, I'm not going to be Marv Levy. Well, here you are. Mike, our buddy in California. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
It's going well. You're throwing some crazy recipes in the chat today. I love it.
Yeah, well, they keep asking. So.
Wait, Mike, what about the woolly mammoth meatball? Yay or nay for you?
I would have to throw that on a Traeger.
There you go.
Slow cook that bad boy.
Yeah, slow cook. Yep.
What do you have on Lamar?
So here's my thing on Lamar. You kind of said it a second ago. I just kind of want to build off of it. Is, yes, he's got all this talent and all this ability in the areas he's excelled in, but we haven't seen him be a complete quarterback. And because we haven't seen him be a complete quarterback, we're taking a huge risk if you go after him, because it's not just the salary cap hit. It's $200 million in an escrow account, which means you've handcuffed yourself with bonus money, so forth. Plus, you're giving up the next 2 years' worth of first-round picks. If he's not able to do it, you're looking at 4 to 5, maybe even 6 years before you can even try to rebuild that team. And if you give up those two first-round draft picks and all the draft equity, how are you going to put anything around him unless you've already got it? You have to be a team that's a quarterback away, and the teams that are a quarterback away don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, he's caught, you know, Mike. It's a great point. And thanks for making it.
That was well said, because that's what I was trying to say less eloquently about the Niners, is they are a quarterback away, but the reason they're a quarterback away is they have all this money invested everywhere else.
It's a great point. Coming up next, the important deadline that's approaching for the Packers and the Jets to get a deal done. Plus, we have the one question that must be answered before the Final Four this weekend. So much to do. Glad you're along with us. It's Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.